Good morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Boys, I made a mention Broken Shire just for you, so I'm thankful for you guys. John chapter 13. I'm going to stay in John today. Thank Dr. Pettit for inviting me and having me. I'll tell you, I got a note, I got an email inviting me to speak, and it reminded me of when I was in school, of a fairly traumatic experience that I had. I got a note in my PO box that said it was from the Vintage. For you freshmen, that's the yearbook. And it said, come and get this picture taken with this group. And the group was called Who's Who. I don't know if you know what Who's Who is, but I don't know if it still is, I was never in it, so I don't know. Who's Who of American high school students, Who's Who of college, American college students, and it meant you were very smart. It meant that you made really good grades, and back then the yearbook was pretty thick, and they had lots of pictures of different student groups, and they took pictures of really smart people together and put them in the yearbook. I knew that that must be a mistake. I knew that if I was in that group, that they knew something about my grades that I didn't know. And so I wasn't sure what to do, and I don't remember a whole lot, except that I remember that they said, wear a sweater and khaki pants. And so I put on the sweater and khaki pants, and I went to the M&G for a picture. I was sure there was a mistake. I was sure I was supposed to be there for something else. But as soon as I got in the room, I realized that this really was Who's Who. I knew some of those people, and to help you know that these were all the smart people, none of them knew me. And they looked at me like, you know, maybe he just works here. I'm not sure who he is, and I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure how this is going to work. And so just as they were lining us up for the picture, a girl came into the room and said, Aaron Burke, yeah, you're not supposed to be in here. Would you please go somewhere else? And so she took me into another room, and I got another picture with other students, and that I found out when I got to the yearbook that it was called Personalities. So in other words, he's not real smart, but he has a great personality. And so I was sure when I got the email to speak in chapel that it must be a mistake, that somehow Randy Page would come out just a few minutes before and say, I'm sorry, we wanted you to be in chapel, not preach in chapel. So let's get started before he comes in here, all right? John chapter 13. I want to talk to you today about building honest relationships. And let me give you this thought. Let me remind you of this, that the dynamic of friendship was not an afterthought to creation. Friendship and companionship existed before the fall of man. So it wasn't... God doesn't offer friendship to us or companionship as a backup plan when things aren't going so well and we find out that we can't do things on our own. So we shouldn't think of building friendships as optional. God wants us to be building relationships. If it's your habit to say, you know what, when your friends ask you to do something, if it's your habit to say, no, I'm fine on my own. No, you're not. Stop saying that. God didn't make you to be on your own. God made you to make friends and to be a friend. And so, no one likes to be on their own. If you have a friend that says that, keep loving them. We know all you have to do is go through COVID isolation to know that you don't like being on your own. I went through that, and that was the worst part. Was being on my own. And it was my habit during that time to go out, and I'd go over to Reveal and I'd grab the other guys that were in COVID, and we would go out for walks when maybe it was after curfew or times when it was quiet on campus. And so I remember one day when I was in the middle of that, I took some guys out and we went out during artist series. And we were walking down by the field house. We were a long way from FMA, but we were walking along, and all of us, we didn't say a word, but we all noticed that an usher came out of one of the doors and then went to another door. And all of us stopped. And we just looked. And someone said, look, a person. We are meant to build relationships. And so I want to encourage you today to build honest relationships. Look with me at John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now the first thing that stands out to me about this verse is it says a new commandment. What is it that's new about this? Loving one another is not a new idea. Leviticus tells us that we should love God and that we should love our neighbor as ourself. And Matthew, when the Pharisees come to Christ and they're talking to him about what is the greatest commandment in the law, and he says, well, the first commandment in the law is that you love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And he says, the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And on these hang all the law and the prophets. So this commandment is not new in that these people that are hearing it for the first time. But he does give us some answers as to why he calls it new. First of all, it's new. Look at verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It is new because it is a badge of distinction. You know, there are religions that we recognize because of their outward practices. If we see someone that kneels down and prays five times a day, we know about that religion. We see someone that's praying through the rosary, we know about that religion. We see someone that wears their hair long at the temple, we know who that is. If we are driving along the roads in Pennsylvania and we see someone driving a horse and buggy, we know that religion. Those are outward distinctions. But now, for the very first time, Christ is telling this body of people that you're to be distinct not because of what you wear, not because of your regular daily ritual, but because you love one another. People are to see believers and know, I know that they love Jesus Christ. I know that they are a child of His because they are loving those around them. And then secondly, I think we see this distinction or this commandment is new because He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. These people that are hearing this command, they knew that they were to love others. They knew the law. But what they have now before them is Jesus Christ, who has loved them. They have seen Him doing it. He has humiliated Himself and come down from heaven. And He has endured hardships and encountered dangers, and He's practiced self-denial. And He's even given up His own life. And why did He do that? He did that for the benefit of those whom He loved. And so now this isn't just this nebulous idea, but it's a new commandment because He says, look at what I did, and now you love others. So God intends that we be about the work of building honest relationships. He expects that you too are going to endure hardship, that you're going to encounter danger, that you are going to practice self-denial for the benefit of those whom Christ loves. Now be very careful. This is not a command that you should love your friends more. This is not a command that you should go out and find those people that you already know and that you already like and that you should be better at loving them. It's that you should start loving the ones that Jesus loves. Well, who's that? It's everyone. It's, thankfully, the Scriptures give us this help. We're to love our neighbor. That helps us because how do we love everyone? Well, look around and find your neighbor. This includes your classmates and your teammates and your roommates and your society's brothers and sisters and your colleagues and the guy at QT that sells you your ice cream and the girl at Chick-fil-A that gives you the number one deluxe with American cheese and a large Coke Zero lie on the ice. It includes your brothers and your sisters and your family. It includes everyone, and there are so many different people that we need to work at building honest relationships. Why do I use the word honest? Well, I take the word from Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable. The Bible uses the same word in 2 Timothy when talking about deacons. And so we have this definition: worthy of respect, dignified, sincere, serious, honorable, worthy, heavy. It's my favorite one. Heavy. Above reproach. There are so many people out there that we're to love. We need to have some game plan. We need a place to start. And so not all of our neighbors that we know are the same. That we don't have the same level of intimacy with them. And so out of necessity, we need to figure out what to do. And I think this gives us a tremendous guide. We don't know the guy at QT all that well. But we need to love him as Jesus loved him. And besides that, relationships have rules. The guy at QT, he's going to say, when he finishes checking you out, he's going to say this. Do you know what he says? This is what he says. See you next time. He does not mean that when you come in next time, you're going to talk to him about how you did on your anatomy test. The girl at Chick-fil-A, she'll say, I'll help the next guest. She does not mean that she's going to help you understand why the girl that you invited to Artist Series by text left you on read. That's not what she means. Every relationship that we have has rules. Every one of them. Every evening at our house, about 9:30, we watch in the baseball game or whatever it is that we're doing, and my wife will say this, do you want ice cream? Now, there are several thoughts going through my mind. Most of them are not whether or not I want the ice cream, because there's only one answer to that question. The reason she's asking me the question is not, she doesn't really care if I want the ice cream. The point is, she wants the ice cream. And if she's not going to eat the ice cream unless I eat the ice cream. So if she wants the ice cream, the rule is what? I want ice cream. On top of that, she doesn't really mean just that she wants ice cream, but what she really means is that she wants me to get up and go get the ice cream. And so what she's really saying is, honey, it's time for me to have some ice cream. And we know these rules. There are rules for all kinds of relationships that we have. There's the bro code. Yes, guys, I know about the bro code. So do all the men in the room. I'm not going to talk about the bro code, right? Because we don't talk about the bro code. But you know, the girls, I figured out over the years, the girls have their own. The girls had a meeting. They all had a meeting, and they did it when they were pretty young. And I know that all the girls had a meeting when the guys weren't there. And let me tell you how I know. Because every time I asked a girl about the meeting, every girl I've ever asked, this is what she said. Meeting? What meeting? And they did it, I know, when they were young. And so about third or fourth grade, here's what happened. This is my theory. And about the third or fourth grade, we went out to play kickball. And there were no girls there. But we were in the fourth grade, so we didn't care. You say, well, I was homeschooled. Well, let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened. Your mom was talking to your sisters while you were playing Minecraft, so you had no idea. And so in that meeting, they taught them some pretty important things. They taught the girls that you're allowed to say things that you don't really mean. And so when you're asked what's wrong, you can say nothing. You can say, I don't really like flowers anyway. You can say, oh, I don't want you to buy me anything for my birthday. Guys, are you listening? All right. If you fall for that, it's a trap. They taught him some other things like, no piece of jewelry is too much jewelry. And then the most important one is this. They taught the girls that they can make all the rules. And I know they did this when they were young, because at camp one time, there was a little girl, 5 or 6, we were playing hide and seek. I wasn't, but all the other kids were. And she scolded the boys. It didn't matter how well they hid, where they were, how hard it was to find them. When she did find them, she scolded them for not hiding well enough. And when it was her turn to hide, she stood in the middle of the gym floor and she said this, "I declare myself invisible." That little girl grew up to come to Bob Jones University. She's here now, and I asked her just the other day about that. And you know what she said? She said, "Hey, I still won that game." There are all these rules, and they're all different. And there's so many neighbors. So what do? You make sure you're honest. You make sure that your relationships are above reproach. You make sure, as the scripture tells us, that you treat the women as sisters and the men as brothers, and you treat those that are older than you with respect. You say, "Thank you, I'll see you later," to the guy at QT. And maybe you leave it at that. But to be rude and impatient and to complain to the girl at Chick-fil-A, that's not loving her as Christ loved her. I want you to look, turn over to John chapter 4, and I want to spend a couple of minutes here looking at how Christ built what I would call honest relationships. Remember, the command is that we love one another, and we love one another as Christ loved us. And so let's take a moment and look and see how Christ loved. I think you know this passage, the story of the woman at the well, as we call her. I'm not going to read all the passage. I want to point out a few things. We understand what happened. We remember what happened there. Remember that he came and they met there at the well, and then he talks to her. And in the end, what happens is that she trusts Christ. And she goes and gets more friends. She brings them along. But I want you to see, in loving her, what did Jesus Christ do? Well, look at verse 4, John chapter 4. The first thing that he did was he had a purpose. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." We need to learn to look at our neighbors with purpose. And the purpose is that we love one another as Christ has loved us. So Christ loved this woman. He needed to go there. Even if it didn't make a whole lot of sense to those with him, he needed to go. And then he was honest. He was honest. Look at verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me to drink.'" Now, do you remember how I defined honest, above reproach, kind, holy? Giving them the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't sound like to our Western ears that... guys, try this, okay? Let me challenge you on this, all right? Go to the D.C. today, and when you're sitting there, and then when you see a girl, it doesn't matter if you know her or not, when you see her coming by, I want you just to go, "Give me some drink." Okay, now what are the chances that she's going to get that drink? Or maybe what are the chances are that she's going to go get the drink and bring it back to you and pour it over your head? So to us, when he says, "Give me to drink," it doesn't sound like he was being respectful. But he was, and she got it. What does she say? She says, verse 9, "Thou sayest..." Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The practice would have been that if a Samaritan had gotten, as a Jew, if a Samaritan had drawn up some water for you and handed you a glass, you poured it out in the ground. And certainly the men didn't talk to the women. And Jesus Christ ignores all of that. And he pays her respect. He says, "I know who you are and what you can do, and I'll drink from the water that you draw." She got it. She knew that and understood that he was being respectful. And then next he offered her hope. Verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Look at verse 14. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He doesn't know this lady long, and already he's giving her the gospel. And our goal of building honest relationships and loving other people, we need to remember that our goal is to give them and show them Jesus. I was struck by a comment that Ethan Hamilton made in our leadership conference earlier at the start of the year. He said this, if we want people to grow in Christ's likeness, we need to talk about Jesus Christ. So as you're building these relationships with your friends, talk about Jesus. Offer them hope. It's the only place that we will find hope. And then finally, he confronted her about her sin. Verse 17, the woman answered. He says in verse 16, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou hast is not thy husband. And that thou saidest truly. Confronting sin, I think we understand what that is. But it's also encouraging to do right. There will be times where you're going to say, you know what, you're my friend and you don't want to do this and I don't want to do this, but it's the right thing, let's do it. We don't need more people in our lives reminding us that we are the center of the universe. We don't need people telling us, you know what, you should be more vindictive. You ought to be more selfish. You know what, that person, I don't know what they were thinking, but you should tell them this and you should do that and you don't have to do that and you don't need to read this. They have plenty of people telling them that. You need to be the friend that reminds them of Jesus Christ. Who He is. And what He's done for us. You need to build honest relationships. Lord, help us to build honest relationships and love others as You have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.